It is so good to be back. And, you know, one of the greatest things about our vacation was that, you know, maybe not what you would normally expect. You know, I know a lot of you prayed for us that we would have a great time and all that. And that, yeah, that's fine. It was okay. But the Lord just worked something in me because, I don't know, you know, I missed church. I missed it so bad. I missed you. You're the church, by the way. I just missed being here and being a part of what God was doing. You know, we watched online. We watched both services, or at least listened to both services, both Sundays that we were out. And by the way, if you didn't catch that before, I'm actually the pastor. So I realize this may be a little bit of a letdown this morning, but anyway, we're going to make it through. In my weakness, He's strong. So, but I just missed being here so much. And you know, there's something really good in that. Sometimes when you miss something, you just become so much more grateful for it. You're so much more thankful when you do without something a little while. And that happened to me. And I really believe that God has put in my heart, fresh and anew, a message of thanksgiving for the church. Thanksgiving? Oh, we're already past that, preacher. Listen, Thanksgiving is not something we do on every fourth Thursday of November. Thanksgiving for the child of God is something we do that we live every single day of our life. It isn't about turkey and football. I don't want any more turkey. But I tell you, we need to get this message this morning. I want you to know that if you apply the truths of God's word regarding giving thanks, it will absolutely set you free. It will bring new victory. It will change your life. If you want more joy, more peace in your life, you want to be a more effective witness for the Lord, get more thanksgiving in your life. See, when you're truly a grateful person, I want to tell you, people will enjoy being around you more. Nobody likes to be around a downer all the time. I mean, they say misery loves company, but you get a bunch of miserable people together and it's just miserable. No, when you're a grateful person, a thankful person, I'll tell you, people like to be around you more. Guess who else likes to be around you more? God does. One of the signs of the time that I see is this aversion always to some new strange doctrine. We need to major on the majors of Scripture. And the Bible speaks in one way or another of thanksgiving or the giving of thanks over 150 times. This is not a minor thing. This is not some little nice thing that we talk about once a year. This is something that has to be a big part of our lives as a believer every single day, that we are a grateful people. We sang about one of the reasons we should always be grateful every day. Psalm 107 verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. He's good even when you're going through a bad time, even when you're looking at difficulty and challenges or even heartache. God is still good. And we still have cause to give thanks to Him. Psalm 92:1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. It's always good to give thanks to God. And I want to tell you, it's bad not to. And you're going to see that in the Scripture today. But we give Him thanks not only for the good things that He does, but because He's worthy and deserving. And you know what else happens? It brightens our own day. It helps our own outlook. You show me a grateful person, I will show you a happy person. You show me somebody that complains all the time, and I will show you an unhappy person. It is as simple as that. We learn to be more grateful, we'll find ourselves being more happy. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. And parents, if you want your children to be happy, every parent wants their kid to be happy. Even if you're miserable, you want your kids to be happy. Teach your kids to be grateful. Teach them to say thank you. But more important even than getting them to respond to you and others with thank you is teaching them to be thankful and grateful to God. And that has to be modeled You have to show it to them. It's not really that hard. We have so many opportunities throughout the day to model that for our children. Amen. Anybody eat? How about if we just returned to giving God thanks for our food? Amen. Carmen and I always stop and give thanks for our food. Yes. On our recent vacation, we went on a cruise, and you know, we're seated in the dining room with lots and lots of people at every meal, and we pray over our food. It's not for show. We're not trying to look super spiritual, and we're not trying to draw attention to ourselves, and we don't want to make anybody else uncomfortable, but we feel the need to acknowledge God and the blessing of what He's given us. Give us this day our daily bread, and we acknowledge that, and we thank Him for it, and I'm not going to not do it just because other people aren't. And it doesn't matter if you're at school or at work or you're in a restaurant, I challenge you and encourage you to publicly give God thanks for the food that He has provided to you, because to not do so is to take it for granted, and that's called ungratefulness. And somebody may not like it. It might make somebody uncomfortable. I don't know, but what I do know is I'd rather please Him than them. And it might be a blessing to a lot of people. It might help some other undercover Christians come out of the closet and pray over their food. And this used to be a thing in the body of Christ, but now we've gotten all, you know, we're all cool now, so we don't have to do that anymore. And preachers even say things like, oh, you don't have to bless it. It's already blessed. Praise God. Listen, if it's already blessed, that's all the more reason to give God thanks for it. But I want to tell you, we're just following the example of our Lord and Savior, because this is the way He did it. When He fed the 5,000, the Bible says He blessed it and He broke it. When He fed the 4,000, He gave God thanks and He broke it. On the night He was betrayed, He broke it and He gave thanks. This was His pattern. This is the way He did. Why do we not? Amen. And I'm just telling you, this is a starting place. It shouldn't be the only time you give thanks, but what a great opportunity, at least three times a day. You know, a lot of times we talked about how Daniel prayed three times a day. Do you realize that it doesn't just say prayed? It says that Daniel prayed and gave thanks to his God three times a day. And I'm telling you that we need to start looking for opportunities and opportunities to express our thanksgiving to God every day. Right. Jesus, He's the one I follow. He's my example. And this was so much a part of who He was. After the resurrection, Jesus ministered to two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they didn't realize who it was they were talking to. But listen to what happens in Luke 24, 30 and 31. When He was at the table with them, He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized Him, and He disappeared from their sight. It was when He took the bread and He gave thanks that they recognized Him. This was a thing with Jesus. You know what? It ought to be a thing with us. Yes. That we do this. Before we eat, we're going to give thanks. We're going to acknowledge the blessing of God. Yes. You know, sometimes we get calloused to these things. We, in America, we know there are people in other parts of the world that dream about sitting down at a meal like we sit down to every day. And they would be so thankful. How can we not? Amen. We have so much to be thankful for. I am grateful that God saved me and paid the price for my sin. He loved me in spite of me. I'm thankful for His grace, His mercy, His goodness. I am thankful for His peace, His joy. every day, blessings upon my life, thankful for health and prosperity. I am thankful for my family, for my wife of 39 years, my beautiful wife who's a true gift from God. I'm thankful for children and grandchildren that bring me such joy. I am thankful for the family of God, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm thankful that I get to pastor the sweetest group of people God ever brought together in one church. I'm thankful that you are loving and kind. I'm thankful that you support me and you're behind me and you're helping me. And Jesus, build the church. Amen. I am thankful for you, and I am thankful for the privilege of being a pastor at this church. I am grateful that somehow God finds in His grace to use me. I'm thankful for each and every day that the opportunity to do what He's called me to. I'm thankful that goodness and mercy are following after me. And you know what? I'm also thankful for all the stuff He's blessed me with. See, sometimes we start focusing on stuff. You know what? That's just one little blessing. There are so many big blessings that we have. That's right. We have to be grateful for so much cause to daily and always in everything, giving God thanks. I know it's easy for some of us, relatively speaking, it's easy for some of us to be thankful. I know I'm spoiled, but I didn't do it. He did it. Don't hate me. He's just good to me. But you know what? He really is to all of us. And in every life, there's some bad. In every life, there's some hardship and some struggle and some heartache. But we can't focus on that. We got to focus on the good. And here's what the Bible says in Psalm 33 and 5. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. You see, you might look out and you might see a lot of bad stuff going on in our world. And there might be some terrible things happening in your own life. But be aware of this. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. This is the truth of God's word. And if you look a little harder, I'm telling you, you'll see the goodness of the Lord. Right. David said, I would have given up if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Oh, you need to expect to see the goodness of the Lord. And if you're having a hard time being thankful sometime, you just need to start looking for the goodness of God. It's always there. Don't be distracted by all the evil and the struggle, but instead look for the goodness of God. He is faithful. Amen. And the Bible tells us so plainly that we are to be thankful. The secret of a happy life is not getting everything you want, but it's being thankful for what you got. Want to be happier? Want to have more joy, less anxiety? Be more likable? Please God in your life? Oh, be thankful. Do the will of God. Jesus said, my mother, brother, and sisters are those who do the will of my Father. He said that you are blessed if you hear the word and you do it. The scripture reveals so much of the will of God to us. It's amazing how people always want to know the unknowns. You know, they want to know the details of the will of God. And how about this? And how about that? How about first, we just get what the Bible tells us plainly is the will of God. And there's none any plainer than 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Here is the will of God for you. That in everything, not for everything, but in every situation, in every circumstance, that you give God thanks. Amen. Whatever it is. And sometimes it can be really difficult. In everything, you give God thanks. So how are you doing with the will of God? Are you in the will of God? Are you doing God's will? Are you giving Him thanks in everything? Too often, His children are disobedient in this regard. It's the will of God, and yet we struggle and even fail to do it in everything. One of the reasons I think it can be so difficult to give thanks and be a thankful person is just the culture that we are surrounded by, this culture of dissatisfaction and discontent, of complaining and criticism all the time. everything. There's always something to find wrong with it. There's always something that we can look at and say, well, it's not good enough. We live in this generation that is so shallow and ungrateful, they can't really seem to be grateful for anything if things aren't just absolutely perfect. And when does that happen? You know, there's that one prayer we've been praying, and it hasn't been answered yet, so I just don't see how I can be grateful. There's that one area of our life where we're just not really satisfied. We live in the most affluent generation that has ever lived at any time in history, and yet people can be so ungrateful. Second Timothy 2:3 tells us that in the last days it'll be terrible times, and one of the traits of those last days is that people will be unthankful. How blessed materially this generation is, and not just materially, but we here in America, not only are we the most blessed ever in material things, but in light of the gospel. I mean, most people have 5 Bibles. We can turn on the TV and listen to preachers, watch them all day on the internet, hear them on the radio. We have so much freedom of religion all around us. Right. Hello? Amen. We should be thankful. Yes. We're so blessed. That's right. I'm gonna throw some of you off right here. I'm not proud to be an American. I am thankful to be an American. I am thankful I was born in this country. I'm thankful God has me here. But it's not a matter of pride for me. It is a matter of gratefulness to God. I didn't put myself here. I didn't pick where I was born. How about you? It's nothing but the goodness of God, the grace of God. And I'm thankful. I am so thankful for the freedoms we have. In this generation, being truly thankful to God has become a rare thing. Right. Not many that do. I think a lot of people think of being ungrateful as just being impolite. Well, it certainly is impolite. It is part of the rudeness of our culture. But it runs much deeper than that. It is a heart issue that affects the whole life. One of the first things that happens in someone's life when they begin to drift away from God is that they become ungrateful. In the attitude of their heart, they don't really see or understand all that God has done for them. They take for granted His blessings, His daily blessings that He so graciously pours into their life. The ungratefulness of our culture has everything to do with the spiritual decline of our nation. I'm going to say that again, and then I'm going to show it to you in the scripture. The ungratefulness of our culture has everything to do with the spiritual decline in our nation. Right. We're going to go to Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to read a passage of scripture all the way from verse 18 to verse 32, and contrary to what I might have done in the past, I'm not going to make any apologies anymore for reading the scripture in a service. When I see in the Lord Jesus, He stood up on the and began His ministry by reading from the book of Isaiah. And so I'm not ashamed to read His word. Oh, well, people just won't hear it. You can't do that. I believe they will. I believe people can't hear the Word of God. It is the Word of God that is life-changing and speaks truth, and people aren't interested in a man's opinion. I hope they are interested in God's opinion. And sometimes we just need to read the whole thing and get it. And that's what we're going to do right here. A couple other passages too. I'm just preparing you. But we're going to be okay. We're going to make it. So here we go. Romans 1, beginning from verse 18. It says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Let me just stop right here and just tell you, this is why all men are without excuse. Because God has revealed Himself so much so in all creation that you can see His eternal attributes. If you look at creation and you can't see that there is a God, the Bible says that you're a fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. All men will be held accountable for the revelation of God in all creation. Without excuse. Verse 21, because although they knew God, I want you to think about this. They knew God. They had some knowledge of God. They did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish heart were dark. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Think about this. They became futile in their thinking. Their thinking became all messed up, and their hearts were darkened. How did this begin to happen? Because they didn't glorify God and they weren't thankful. This was the beginning of this downfall. This was the beginning of a dangerous spiritual spiral down. And we're going to read it. It's absolutely horrifying. Verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Let me just stop and say right here that we were created in His image. He was not created in our image. Do not fantasy a God who's in your image. God said, you thought that I was altogether one such as you? Oh no. He is a mighty, awesome, holy God. Hallelujah. We're living in a time when it is all the rage to fashion God, an image of God in your own heart and mind of who you want Him to be instead of knowing the one true God. He goes on here and he says, in birds and four-footed animals and creeping things, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural state of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all, now listen to this list, all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness. Hello. Come on. We like to talk about those few that we consider to be really, really bad, but none of us are involved in. How about this? Covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent. Seeing so much of this, all of these things, right now we see every bit of this in our culture. How did we get here? It started with people not giving God glory and not being thankful. This is where it started. And this is where we begin to turn it around. As we become a grateful and a thankful people, giving glory to God, turning people's hearts and attention back to the Lord. Amen. Whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same things, but also approve of those who practice them. I just want to throw this in here. There are some preachers that will not read this passage from the pulpit. They say it's not appropriate. It needs to be read. There's nothing that speaks truth like the Word of God. Right. And we, as a nation, and we, as God's people, oh, how we need to see how important it is that we give God the thanks that He deserves and honor Him each and every day in our life. Instead of taking credit ourselves for the blessings, for the good things in our life, that we give God the glory that he deserves. All of it came from him. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good thing in our lives came from him. If we have food to eat, if we have clothes to wear, a warm place to sleep, much less a car to drive and a job, we have family and friends. I'm telling you, we are rich people and we should be thankful to God. And the only reason that that doesn't sound like a big deal to us is because we live in this callous, ungrateful generation, because it's a big deal. We should live every day so thankful and grateful for the things that God has blessed us with. We sit here in our air-conditioned, comfortable black chairs. I'm telling you, we're blessed. Oh, how we need to be thankful. Throw off that old attitude and instead have a heart of gratefulness. And we need to express that heart of gratefulness to him in thanksgiving. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If your heart is full of gratefulness, it will come out of your mouth. But I'll tell you, it is not thanksgiving until it does come out of your mouth. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, by him, by Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, he's going to explain it, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The fruit of our lips. It's got to come out of your mouth, giving thanks to his name. And how often do we do this? He says continually. Even when things are going wrong, even when we are down, we don't feel like it. We continually do this because he's worthy of it, because he deserves it, because he is good. And no matter what's going on in our life, I want to tell you, if you know Jesus, you got enough to be forever grateful for. And we got to maintain that heart and keep continually the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Thanksgiving has to be a verbal expression of gratefulness. It's so important that we get that. We're such a blessed people. And for most of us, there's a whole lot more right in our lives than wrong, more good than bad. But you know what? We can be just as ungrateful in the good times, in the best of times even. Sometimes when we should be the most grateful, it seems we are not. And here's why. It is the original sin, pride. It is so much a part of our sinful nature that many times we are blinded to the root of pride in our life that produces the fruit of ungratefulness. It is built into our culture. I earned everything I have. I paid my own way. There's no free lunch. I got it done. I worked harder. I studied more. And sometimes as spiritual people, we can be the very worst. I'm a good person. I don't act like those people. I don't do the bad things they do. I deserve. Spiritual pride is one of the very worst kinds. Sound like the Pharisee that lifted his arms to God and said, I thank thee, God, that I'm not like other men. I'm better than them. I'm so glad that he does not treat us as our sins deserve. Psalm 103, verse 10. I'm so glad that it is by his grace that he saved us. Nothing we ourselves have done. And every good thing in our life is a resulting blessing from God. But pride will cause us to feel that we have no one to thank but ourselves. Grateful people are humble people. They acknowledge that it is God's goodness to them. But when we are prideful, we become ungrateful, because we think that we somehow deserve. We think that somehow we did it ourselves. When the children of Israel had been promised this land flowing with milk and honey, it was going to be so fantastic And it was all that God promised them it would be. But he warned them in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I want us to read this passage, Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to read 6 through 18. He says, observe the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and figs, trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. Wow. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. I tell you, the Lord has made just as many great promises to us and even many more so. All true, all available to us. He tells them, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, you will build fine houses and settle down. And when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. There are a whole lot of people that have forgotten the Lord their God. They don't see a need to go to worship anymore and to publicly give God thanks and praise. They have forgotten who got them where they are. They finally got that job. They finally got that big raise. They finally acquired that house and some stuff, and they've forgotten, and they're no longer giving God praise. Instead, they think they did it themselves. Then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. Don't forget the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast, dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land and its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you out, or brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble you and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. Has he brought you through some things?
Yes.
Oh, you got so much to be thankful for. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is today. You say, oh, I can do this, I can do that. It is God who gives you the ability. There should never be a time, a moment in our life when we are not grateful. There should never be a cause in our life for us to be prideful. When you grow in the blessings of God and increase, you have to continue to grow in gratitude to God so that your heart is not lifted up in pride. And when the promises are fulfilled to you, don't forget to give God the glory and the thanks and say thank you. Thank you for saving me from my sins. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for healing and deliverance. Thank you for peace and joy. Thank you for abundant provision in my life. Thank you for daily protection. Thank you for the amazing grace in which I now stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everything we have, everything we receive that is to come, it's from him, and we need to give him thanks for it.
Yes.
You know, I read in the scripture about this great and mighty warrior named David. He was a great man of God. He certainly had his faults and his flaws and his falls, but know this, that he was so favored of the Lord, and God blessed him so much. He had so many great victories over his enemies. He knew God is the one who never lost a battle. And David became so very wealthy. And at the end of his life, he had such peace. And I'm just telling you, God so blessed him. And near the end of his life, David wanted to build the temple for the Lord. And it's kind of a strange thing I don't really understand completely yet. I just can't wrap my mind around it. But the Lord tells him that because his hands are bloody from war, that he can't be the one. And I don't really understand that. But David passes off that task to his son Solomon. But he also raises the wealth to build this fantastic temple. And by some estimates, they say that David himself gave 220,000 pounds of gold, 600,000 pounds of silver. I don't know how much money that would be in our market today, but it was absolutely mind-boggling. And the people all gave like that. But I want you to hear what part of David's prayer was when this happened. It is in 1 Chronicles 29, 13 and 14. He says, "Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you." Here is this humility that David always had, that even when he had such great victories and so many great things that God did in his life, he gave all the glory to God. He said, "We thank you." Amen. And he says, it's just the stuff that we are giving. It is just the stuff that you've blessed us with. It's yours already. It's of you. That we bring this, he took no glory, no credit. He gave all of the credit, the glory back to God. And I want to tell you that when we do that, it brings such favor on our life. It brings such blessing on our life. But when we allow that pride in, it stops the flow of the grace of God. I want you to see it in the scripture. It's James 4, 6. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We can't allow ourselves to become puffed up in pride. If you want more of the blessings of God on your life, you want to see more of the goodness of God in your life, then you stay humble. And humble people are thankful. You see, when we acknowledge that it's all God, when we are humble, we acknowledge it's all God and we give him the thanks, then he gives grace, undeserved favor and blessing. And when we are proud, he resists us. Right. You know what the pop theology of the day, some people would say, "Oh no, God doesn't resist anybody." Yes, he does. And when the Almighty resists you, you're going nowhere. How easy it is for us to fall into that old pride. You know, all of us have certain strengths, certain abilities, you know, maybe a physical strength or intelligence or, like me, exceptional good looks. I know it's been a little heavy this morning, so just thought I'd throw that out there. Some of us think, stop laughing. Some of us think we're great drivers. We think we're great fighters. We think we're great lovers. Some of us think we're all the above. Here's the thing, though. Whatever abilities, whatever gifts we have, it's just that. It's a gift. Amen. You didn't make yourself. First Corinthians 4:7. Who makes you differ from another? Here's what pride says. Me. It's a rhetorical question. The answer is God. And what do you have that you did not receive? Nothing. Oh, I went out and I earned it. I got it for myself. You are puffed up in pride if you think that. And that is so much a part of our culture. We need to see and understand this, that if we have any gifts, we have any abilities, we have any strength, it is a gift from God. It is a blessing from God, not to be proud about, but to be thankful for. Amen. Got a high IQ? Don't be puffed up. Just be thankful that God blessed you in that way. Right. Does it make you better than somebody else? Well, I can bench press 400 pounds. Well, thank God for it. Quit bragging about it and boasting about it. Amen. It's in that pride that we start thinking that we deserve something and we fail to give God the thanks that He deserves. Whatever you might be tempted to be proud about, that's the very thing you need to go out of your way to give God thanks for. When you accomplish something, you start making more money. When your kid shines, oh, this is a tough one. When your kid shines, I have determined not to ever be proud of my children. I know some of you have a problem with that. I heard preachers even talk about it. I'm just going to tell you this straight up. You will never find pride or proud in the Bible spoken of in any way except as evil. Not one time. Not one time. It is always evil. I would rather be like my Heavenly Father as He spoke about His Son. He didn't say, I'm so proud of my Son. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And most of all this morning, I got to tell you, rather than being proud of my kids, I'm thankful.
Amen.
Pride speaks of our own ability. Thankfulness speaks of the blessing of God. I'm thankful. So when your kid shines, when things are going right for you, when God has used you in some way, it's amazing how people can even become prideful about God using them to help somebody else. That is when you have to be grateful.
Amen.
So many opportunities for pride to begin to creep in. We just have to always make the effort to stay humble and grateful. And we'll see His blessing on our life every day. Henry Ward Beecher said, pride slays thanksgiving, but a humble mind is the soil out of which things naturally grow. A proud man is seldom a grateful man, and he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves. Stay humble, stay grateful, and you'll bring the favor and blessing of God on your life. I want to wrap this up this morning with a story from Luke chapter 17. It is the story that is commonly called the story of the 10 lepers, but we're going to talk about the one this morning. And I want to just read through the passage first, and we'll talk about it briefly. Now on his way, it's Luke 17, verse 11 through 19. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he's going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance. Now they had to stand at a distance because they're outcasts. They weren't allowed to be around people. These men couldn't go home to their families. It might have been years and years since they had been able to hug or kiss their wife or be with their children. They couldn't even go to worship. This was their lot in life. They were total outcasts. The only people they could be around were other lepers. And they were horribly disfigured. Leprosy ate away their flesh. Many times they lost toes or fingers or an ear or even pieces of their flesh, of their body. And these men cried out to Him, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. They cried out for mercy. They didn't say, hey, it's not fair. They weren't mad at God. They cried out for mercy, for pity. And Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. This was the Bible description for being healed of leprosy. It was gone from their body. They were cleansed. There was no more evidence of the disease on their body. They were cleansed from it. One of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked Him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then He said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. You're this man cleansed of leprosy, made whole. He had a reason to come back and give God thanks, to give God glory, to praise God. And all of us who are born again. We have all been cleansed from the disease of sin, cleansed from our unrighteousness. Amen. We have all been given a gift. You see, this man had a gift of his life back. All of us who have been born again have been given a gift that each and every day, the life that we experience, the life that we live as a born-again child of God is a gift from God.
Yes.
There were 10 that had leprosy, and only one came back that day. Jesus says, where are the other 9? And I have to tell you, as a pastor, I've seen so many that God has blessed them and helped them and delivered them, restored their family, gotten through that jobless time, and again and again and again, God made a way where there's no way, and today they don't even go to church, and I don't understand. And I think the Lord is saying, still, where are the other 9?
Right.
We came to give thanks to God. It's important that we give God thanks and praise publicly.
Right.
Psalm 69 and 30, I will praise God's name in song and glorify Him with thanksgiving. You see, thanksgiving glorifies God. I will glorify Him with thanksgiving. Jesus, the man came and he fell at Jesus' feet and he thanked Him. And Jesus says, where are the other 9? Is this foreigner the only one that returned? The King James or New King James says to glorify God. The NIV said they're to praise God. You see, when we give thanks, it glorifies God. We come into this place, we enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. We're bringing glory to God. They say, oh, it's between me and God. But you know what? Other people need to see that you're grateful. Other people need to see how we celebrate. Other people need to see how excited we are about the Lord and all that He's done for us.
Amen.
Psalm 35:18, I will give you thanks in the great assembly among the throngs of people. I will praise you.
Amen.
Oh, we need to do it publicly to give God thanks every week.
Yes.
This man expressed his gratitude, and we need to express it with our mouth, just like he did. He got his life back. Let's just make this a little more modern, though. Let's just say that this was a man who was healed of a terminal disease, and or maybe he was healed, delivered from a drug addiction, or, you know, that was destroying his life. But however it happened, he got his life back. He got his family back. He got a good job. He had a successful career. He watched his kids grow up. He coached his son's little league team. He walked his daughter down the aisle. He started a business. He has a great life. And now, 20 years later, after God healed him or God set him free, 20 years later, do you think he still has a reason to thank God? He's got 20 years of blessing piled on him that he needs to thank God for. And some of us need to remember we might have got saved 20 years ago or 40 years ago. We have lived in the blessing of God for 40 years. We got more now to be thankful for than we ever did back then. It can't get old to us when we're daily living in the blessings of God. And so we thank Him every day of our life is a blessing, and every day of our life we return thanks to Him. There's one more thing that I see here in this passage about the leper. The 10, as they went, it says that they were cleansed. And this one, when he saw he was healed, he returned. But when he gave God the thanks, the praise, Jesus says to him, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Now, in the NIV there, it said made you well. But I want you to understand that this is a totally different Greek word than the word for cleansed. This is the word sozo. It's also many times translated as saved, but it means to be healed, to be made whole. It means to be restored. And we need to understand this, that when we are going through that battle and we finally get the victory, we finally see God move and work in our life, we need to be so careful to give Him the praise and to give Him thanks. Because when you have that thankful heart, there is a restoration process that takes place in your life. Amen. I believe there was something supernatural that happened when he knelt and gave thanks. And Jesus says, your faith has made you whole. Yes. I don't know exactly what happened, but I have to wonder if appendages didn't automatically appear back and an ear came back and the old rotten flesh that now was just a scar was healed. But I do know this, that I serve a miracle working God, and whatever has been lost or stolen, destroyed in your life, that God can restore to you, that God can bless you. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray, and I want our prayer partners to go ahead and come.